says. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight on this communion night to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse 1 with me. Verse 17, forgive me. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 17, Paul writes and he says this. He says, now in giving these instructions, listen to what he says to this church who is so divisive and in trouble anyway. I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Can you imagine us coming together tonight, and God says in his word, you know what? You're coming together, but it's not for the better. It is absolutely for the worse. What a word. He says, for first of all, when you do come together as a church, Paul says, I hear there are divisions among you. And not only that, in part, he says, I believe it. For there is also the factions among you, for those who must be approved must be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, Paul says, isn't it to eat the Lord's supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. One's hungry, another's drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? And Paul says, no, I don't praise you at all. Tonight, as we enter into September coming so soon, loved one, did you know it's only 119 days away until Christmas? Boy, this year is flying by. And not only that, you know, the God's whirlwind is forming, and I pray in Jesus' name that you start praying about that, because we will be maybe, potentially, serving and loving between 2,000 and 3,000 people during the Christmas time in our outreach. And are you prepared to be telling that many people about Jesus Christ? Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's our main goal. All right, with all that being said, as you know, we set aside the last Wednesday, if you're visiting with us, the last Wednesday of each month to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we've gathered tonight to do three things. Not only to partake of the oneness and the unity that we have, but we're gathered here tonight to not only just look back, but to look ahead, but also to look within our hearts as we celebrate the Lord's table. And we do it purposely. We pause, we reflect, and we do something that's so splendid. We remember all that Christ has done for us. Amen? You know, listen, the Lord's Supper is, as I say so often, it's not a ritual. It's our fellowship, one with another. We're the family of God. We're the body of Christ. We belong to our Lord. Father, tonight, as I think about all those things, we are so close in our relationship because of our oneness with the Lord that if we harm one another, we actually then wound the Lord. Amen? That's how close we are. You know, if one hurts, man, listen, we all hurt. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:25 that there should be no division in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, well, all the members rejoice with it. Tonight we remember all that we do in remembrance of Jesus. Amen? He said, don't forget anything that I've done for you. I want you to always remember those things. Paul, writing to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 2:8, he says, remember Jesus of the seed of David and was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Man, remember Jesus. We need to remember tonight that Jesus is alive. Amen? He's here with us right this minute. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we should remember that Jesus is with us always, even until the very end of the age. Did you know the word remember, as we prepare to celebrate communion tonight, is mentioned and found 225 times in the New King James Version? For example, remember my covenant, the Lord says. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. The thief on the cross, he said, oh, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what Jesus said. Surely today you will be with me in paradise. You know, we are to remember God. Remember all the things that he's done for us. Hebrews 10:17 says something is so glorious, it's unbelievable. He says he will remember our sins, our lawless deeds, no more. And as we prepare our hearts tonight to just celebrate the Lord's table, remember that we're coming to the one tonight who not only loves us, but gave himself for us. Amen. See, Jesus, remember Jesus, the things that Jesus said. He said in John 7:37, I believe it was, he says, if anyone thirst, let him come to what? To whom? He said, to me. He says, you come to me, and I pray tonight you come to him. And it says, and drink. And he who believes in me, Jesus said, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow living waters. How many could handle some of that tonight? Amen. That's what we need. Listen, why not declare right now in your thinking, right this moment, that tonight is a supernatural night? Can you do that? To lay everything else aside. No texting, no Facebook, if you're doing that, the Lord. To where you're tuned in to one thing, the Word of God and the presence of God. Do you know that God wants to do mighty things in our midst? And the Jesus, even Jesus said, I could do no work there, maybe just heal a few people in his own town. Why? Because of unbelief. They just didn't believe. Unbelief stops the supernaturals, the here-ness, the now-ness of God. Don't let that happen tonight, amen? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your feelings, your emotions. Don't worry about anything. Just concentrate on the Lord. Think about the one, our Savior, who said, he said, I am the light of the world. And he that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but have the absolute light of life. Think about Jesus when he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Think about all the Lord has said, the one who is with us tonight. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have a personal relationship with them. And they follow me. They follow me, Jesus said. They'll not follow the voice of a stranger. Oh, no, not at all. Jesus said, listen, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Do you believe that? We shall never see destruction. Oh, this old body may give out one day, of course. But Jesus said, I give them, it's a gift, eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus speaking to Mary and Martha, he said unto them, he said, listen, I am the word for God. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? You see, God's word is so, so very true. Jesus told us, he said, listen, the whole world, he says, I want you to do something in the upper room. Remember in John 13, he said, I want you to love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this the whole world will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples. What a glorious word. Listen, tonight we're remembering Jesus, all that he has done for us. One of my favorite scriptures, and probably one of yours too, is when Jesus looks at Peter and all the disciples, and he says unto them, let your heart be not troubled. Believe in, he says, Jesus said, he said, if believe in God, but also believe in me. I tell you, we have a home, don't we? We have a home tonight. Jesus said, in my Father's house are so many mansions, loved one, so many dwelling places. And you know what? He told them, he said, listen, I would have not told you if it's not so. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. Amen. We have a place, the Lord, he's going to come and receive us unto ourselves. He promised in his word, he said, listen, I will not leave you orphans. He says, I'll come to you. Boy, we have the promises of God, don't we? I think about our Lord and all the wonderful things. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's who we are tonight. He says, abide in me, live in me, draw strength from me. For without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. The incredible promises of the word of our Savior. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. Not as the world gives, but as I give. He says, don't be concerned. Don't be afraid. He says, listen, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, and that is a promise. Amen? He says, but I have overcome the world. That's who we are. We're world overcomers, loved one. One of the greatest sayings of Jesus, the one we're remembering tonight, upon the cross, he said, it is finished, and it remains finished. Everything that's needed for our eternal salvation is absolutely complete. Amen? Are you ready to celebrate communion tonight? Are you ready to pour out your heart to the Lord and love him? Paul writes, as he said there in chapter 11, verse 23, Paul writes, I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Now listen, we know that Paul was not in the upper room in John 13. He wasn't at the table with the rest of the disciples, but he received the gospel, remember, as we've been learning, by personal revelation. Paul said, the gospel that I preach, he says, it didn't come from man, nor did I receive it from man, but I received it by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning he taught me personally. What an incredible gift that Jesus gave unto Paul. And so the Corinthians, as we already know, you talk about abusing the Lord's Supper. It's got to be a horrible thing to be so divided and yet partaking of the Lord's Supper, are so wasted and drunk that they don't even remember taking the Lord's Supper. They were a messed up carnal church. Do you follow me? But we're not like that, loved one. We're not like that at all. We will never at this place treat the Lord's Supper, his table, as some ritual, because it's not. It's a divine relationship. We celebrate our oneness and our unity with our Lord. And as you already know, they were out of fellowship with the Lord. So Jesus says, do this. He said, and do it in remembrance of me. He says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. So what do we do right now? We're going to look back, and we're going to remember all that Jesus did for us when he died upon the cross, all that is that it means. I love it. Remember, he says, take, eat, this is my body, which is what? Broken, torn, bruised, beat to pieces, damaged. This is my body. Take it right now. Eat of it, for it was broken for you. You know what Jesus wants you to remember tonight? I pray that you remember this, that you have been translated out of a broken world. Amen? Colossians 1:13, that we've been translated out of the power of the kingdom of darkness all the way over into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been deported from this earth. Amen? We are citizens of another place, a place called heaven. And you know what? We're no longer in the broken body, the damaged body, the disobedient body of Adam. We're now in Christ Jesus. Amen? What a glorious, wonderful thing. It's amazing to think all mankind is broken by sin. You know, this morning coming in, there was a truck in front of me, and I cannot, on the back of his windshield, had all these words, I cannot, nor do I use that language, nor will I ever use that language, but what he had on the back of his windshield was so vulgar, and I was thinking, oh God, please, let that just fall off of his windshield, because little children see those words. You know what I mean? They see that filth. And I was just saying to myself, what a broken individual. Oh, he needs Jesus. And he's cursing the world and everybody else with horrible profanity. They're just for the whole world to see. You see, the reason that he does that or is doing that is because he's broken. But he doesn't know he's broken. He doesn't know that he's an Adam. He doesn't know there's a way out of Adam. He's living a broken life. Maybe he comes from a broken home, or he has a broken relationship with his father or his mother or whatever it might be. But he is simply a broken person, and broken people, you know what they do? They go and they fill their lives with broken things. They only keep them broken. Isn't that amazing? That's what we used to do. But see, Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Why? So we will never have to be broken again. Don't ever allow the devil to lie to you. Amen. Jesus, tonight as we celebrate this, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And don't ever forget it. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, we're no longer broken. Jesus, God loved Jesus. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son into this crummy world. Why? That he would be broken and crushed and torn and beaten. Why? For you. He took what belonged to each of us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, it tells us, Jesus prophesying about the Messiah, I gave my back to those who struck me, meaning the scourging, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. It says in Isaiah 53:5, but the Messiah, meaning Jesus, was wounded or pierced for our transgressions, our willful disobedience. He was bruised, he was crushed, he was broken for our iniquities, and the chastisement, or literally the discipline, for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know it, I know it, I don't need to really even tell you tonight, but Jesus Christ did not die for anything that he had done. He died for what we had done, amen? He took our place, he took our punishment. Jesus said, tonight, when we partake of communion, he says, take it, eat it. This is my body. This is my body which was broken for you, so you will never have to be broken. Never have to be broken again. Never have to see yourself as a broken person. Jesus suffered our bruising. And you know what it says in Isaiah 53:10? Yet it pleased God to bruise him, to see him crushed. God hates sin so much. What did God do? He sentences himself to die for the sins of the world. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. I thank God so much tonight. You know, God, who made Jesus sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful scripture. What a wonderful promise. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you, which happened, of course, on the cross. Don't believe one lie of the father of all lies. He'll tell you that you're a loser, that you're not going to make it. He'll tell you anything to keep you defeated. You know what Jesus said in John 10:10? Jesus said, listen, the devil, he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus says, listen, I was broken for you. Get that idea of you're a defeated, broken person out of your heart and out of your mind. Amen? Listen, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the day or night brings, I have the promise, nothing, absolutely nothing, death, life, nakedness, peril, sword, nothing, things created, things from the devil, angels, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Man, the greatest thing you can do is keep your eyes on our Lord. Don't worry about this world. Don't worry about what's happening in this world. It's all going to fall into place. Don't worry about Trump. Don't worry about Biden. Don't worry about anybody. Amen? Especially Trump. I say that tenderly. I pray for him. No, listen. Jesus said, I want you to do something else. He said, in the same manner that he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. And blood always speaks of sacrifice, always of death. He says, this do now, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So the cup that we're going to hold in our hand in a few minutes, you know what it represents. It's the cup of the new covenant. I am so thankful that the Bible is so clear. It tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And you know what? His blood was shed for you and for me. The Bible tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but incorruptible, the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm so thankful tonight that we are saved. not just temporarily saved, not saved if we're good enough. We want to be good, but not. You understand? We're just simply, Jesus has saved us. We have a better covenant than the old covenant. We have a better mediator. We have a better covenant based on better promises, Hebrews 7:22. Lord, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:12, it says, not with the blood of bull and goats and calves, but with Jesus' own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. I was with a gentleman a few years back, there in the hospice. And I read that scripture to him. I said, when you're saved, you were saved by the blood of Jesus, who went into the holy place once and for all. It's enough for every human being that trusts in him. It says, having obtained eternal redemption. His name was Terry. I said, Terry, you have been eternally redeemed. And when you close your eyes, you're going to see that he had purchased you, and that promise is for real and is forever and ever. What a glorious word. Man, we have been bought all eternity. So when you hold that cup in your hand, realize this. Out of all the sacrifices from the Genesis all the way to the time Christ came, that cup represents the final sacrifice. There are no more sacrifices for sin. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 10, it says that God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's a mind-boggling scripture, isn't it? You know, our forgiveness of our sin is so complete. God, who knows everything, who knows every secret of every person's heart, he does something. God chooses to never remember your sin. That is just unbelievable. No wonder that the Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian, listen to me tonight. I pray you're not, but if you do, why do you grieve over your past? Why do you grieve over, I wish I had never done that? Well, we all wish we had never done that. I failed here, I failed there, and all of it. Listen, why grieve or suffer guilt over what God has chosen to never remember again? Let go of it. You can't take the suitcase of your baggage with you into the next year or the next month or the next day. Man, I throw that thing into the trash can. It's trash. Get rid of it. You're free. Jesus has set you free. Man, don't be in bondage to anything. If you're going to be a slave to Jesus. Amen? Yes. The Bible says this in Psalm 27:13. It says, I would have lost heart, David writes, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, you will lose heart if you're not believing. There's going to be pressure every day. The devil, he knows that his time is short. You understand? The things that are happening in this world today, we are definitely, without a doubt, living in the last days. You know what? And he knows his time is short, and he is applying pressure around the world here in America. There's so much deception going on. You don't know what is real and what's not real anymore. Do you understand? Yeah. I passed a church next to my house yesterday. They just started a school, but they had a big the sign for the school, but they had another big sign welcoming the community that is in sin. We're welcome here. I don't need to give you the initials. I'm not against people. I love people. I am against sin because sin destroys. Sin sends people to hell. Amen? We see the church is changing and changing and changing. That's not the true church level. The true church is going to be the one who holds on to the very end. Amen. Who teaches the word of God. There is a famine in this land right now for the true teaching of God's word. A famine. And boy, do we need to have God's word. It's our foundation. It's all that we have. He says, so as often as you eat this bread, you drink this cup, look what we do. We preach or proclaim the Lord's death. How long? Till he comes. So we look back, and this is a prophetic word. We look back, but we also now, we're looking ahead to the Lord's coming. Man, listen, when we, tonight, think about that. You're going to have the bread in your hand. You're going to have the cup in your hand. And the moment that we do that, we proclaim the Lord's death silently as we pause, as we remember, as we think of our Lord. And not only that, we proclaim his return, which would be, of course, the catching away of the church. We call it the rapture. Listen, Jesus said, watch. Boy, I'll tell you, you don't know the day. You don't know the hour when the Son of Man is coming. He's coming in an hour that you do not expect, Jesus said. Listen, it could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow night. It could happen in the morning. It could happen before you take the first bite of that piece of bacon, man, at breakfast. You know, you're just smelling it, and now you're gone. Think about it. Man, I think, oh, Lord, you're so good. We're to watch and be ready. As the ushers now are going to come forth and pass out the communion as I finish up here, he says in verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord, both of them now, in an unworthy manner, meaning without proper reverence and respect. Now, that also means that it can be done. So he says, whoever eats this bread or whoever drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, without that proper reverence, listen to what it says, will be guilty of literally profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. You see, that the cup and the bread, the Lord's table belongs to the Lord. Amen? Well, we don't want to be guilty of that. So you say, well, Bill, what does that mean? Well, it means that you approach God, the Lord's Supper, in a frivolous manner, without the fear of God, without the reverence of God. But if we have to take this in context, which we should always do, Paul is literally talking about the divisions that were in this church, how they were tearing each other apart, they were suing one another, they were abusing the gifts of the Spirit, they were into sexual sin, they were doing everything wrong, they were carnal, they were tearing apart the body of Christ. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, and so forth. No. See, we're not doing that, not tonight. Therefore, it says for us to do something, and this is what you should be doing right now. Let me read what Paul says. He says, but let a man examine himself. Look into our hearts, self-examination. And after we look into our hearts, and if there's anything there that shouldn't be there, get it out. And then after you get rid of it, he says, so let him eat then of the bread and the cup and drink of the cup. So we look within our hearts. Check out your motives. Are you living together? I don't know that anyone's living together, but are you? You're in sin. What's wrong? Don't do that. Christians don't do that. They don't go out and fornicate and just live a horrible lifestyle like that. You've been freed from that, forgiven of that. You've been empowered not to do that. Amen? Amen? Yes, it's the word of God. We don't sin against our Father in heaven. No, you say, well, I my motivation's wrong. Well, then get it right. Just get it right. Get it right right now. Just get honest with God. He already knows everything about you. You can't hide anything from God. You can't hide sin from God. Well, I'm out of relationship with someone. Well, then go restore that relationship. You know, well, they don't like me. Well, it doesn't matter. You just say, I like you. How's that? Yeah, get right. Go to them. Gain your brother. Don't lose your brother. Gain your sister. Don't lose your sister. No. Confess your sins. Never hide them. The Bible is clear. God is faithful that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Listen, God can't lie. That is a truth. Well, I don't feel forgiven. You don't have to feel forgiven. You have to believe that you're forgiven. Amen? You believe the word of God. It is a fact. He says, for whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, meaning without examining our hearts, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, we know that cannot mean eternal judgment, because the Bible says, I just quoted the scripture a moment ago, Romans 8:1, therefore, there is no judgment, condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So what kind of judgment is the Lord speaking about? Let me read it again. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, meaning, again, without self-examination, eats and drinks judgment, meaning not eternal judgment, but corrective judgment to himself. Why? Well, he's not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, meaning careless participation in the Lord's Supper, for this reason, many are weak, many are sick among you, and many sleep. Now, that's not a few. Many are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In other words, judged with perhaps weakness. Judged perhaps, I don't know, because whatever we're doing is leading to some kind of disease or some kind of sickness. I don't know. He says, but when we are judged, it says we are chastened by the Lord. And the reason? That we may not be condemned with the world. God disciplines. He chastens those that he loves. For a person to abide in darkness and there's no chastening from God going on means that maybe God, you don't belong to God. Does that make sense? He doesn't chasten children of darkness, only the children of the light, okay? So we look at that and we say, Lord, we're ready now. We're ready to celebrate your table. We know that you're here with us. So with all that being said, I say goodbye to the online congregation. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for tuning in and being with us tonight. But right now, we're going to celebrate the table as a family of God. Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. As Lord, as I myself, I have the bread. I have the cup. Lord, tonight, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we give thanks for all that Christ has done for us, taking our sin, O Lord, imputing his righteousness to our account.